So we're carrying on in our series on the Lord's Prayer and looking at prayer and different aspects of prayer. And as we've been going through it, I talked about how the difference between this prayer and the prayer at the time that's being prayed by the pagans was that pagan prayer was about the pagan themselves. It was about what they got out of the prayer, and it was about what they sounded like before other people. But Jesus transforms our thinking on prayer by saying, no. Christian prayer is about communion with God. It's about a connection and a relationship. It's not about this thing that you do for show. It's not about this thing that you do for yourself. It's something that you do to connect and engage with God who is most high. And he gives us this pattern, this model of prayer in Matthew and also in Luke 11 that we looked at the beginning of this series. That our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I shared last week about how this prayer is in two halves. And we got to the end of the first half last week. The first half has this aspect of, in these different petitions that are made in the Lord's Prayer, we have, first of all, it talks about how God is our Father. It's saying, when you come to God, know that you're in relationship with Him. And when we talk about God as our Father, it aligns us with our identity that we are adopted children of God, that we come to Him like our dad, and we can speak to Him freely and openly and honestly and have an intimate, deep relationship with Him because He is our Father. We draw close to Him. We are adopted children of God. But we looked at how hallowed be your name is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. It speaks of adoration, proclaiming who God is. And that aligns us with God's character, His sovereignty, His nature. And it's about how when you know what God's name is, when we look at the different names of God in the Scriptures, how He is Jehovah Jireh, He is Jehovah Rapha, these different names of God that is given to God, it allows us to pray in line with His nature. We can be confident that when we pray for provision, He'll provide, because that's His nature. We can be confident when we pray for protection, when He says, I am your shield. We can be confident of His protection, that we pray in line with the petition of the adoration of God. And then we get your kingdom come, and we talk about how when we pray this, we're praying for the anticipation that the world will be as it should be. We're praying for the anticipation that what is now wrong would be put right. That where there is darkness, there would be light. That's the prayer that we're praying. God, your reign, the way you do things, your power, your rule, come and manifest itself in this particular situation. We're praying for the kingdom to break in and transform. And that aligns us with the rule and the reign of God. Saying, God, I understand that you're my Father. And I understand that you are a holy God. But you're also the King who rules everything. And so I can come to you and I can pray your kingdom come, knowing that that is your heart, that is what you long to see happen. And we looked at last week about how we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How this is the aspiration that we have. That our aspiration is that the will of God, that what God longs for and what God wills, will be made known to us and to the world. And that when we pray that, it aligns us with the purposes and God's will in our life. And we looked last week at how do we live as people who seek to live in God's will, to know His will, but also we looked at disappointment. That when we pray for God's will, sometimes our expectations of what we think should happen aren't matched by what God wants to do. And how you have to deal with disappointment. If you weren't here last week, you need to get last week's message, because it's a powerful message about dealing with disappointment in our life. And that's kind of, those petitions up to that point are the first half of the Lord's Prayer, which all speak about who God is. It's about God comes first. In my prayer life, God comes first. And then it flips over into the needs that we have, the things that we need in our life. And I said about last week about how it's John Calvin who's the first person to say, it's like the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments are saying, put God first, and then it talks about how you deal with each other. And the Beatitudes that Jesus teaches, and where this is taken from, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount basically says, Put God first. Put him first. Make him God in your life. And then it says, and then God can be God to you. He can be a father to you. He can provide for you. He can be the God who steps into your life. But only when you allow him to be God over your life. And so we flip from the first half of giving God adoration and praise. And we're saying, God, you're the king. You're sovereign. You have a rule and a reign. And you have a will to bring things into being. And so as I follow you, God, here's the petitions that I bring to you. Knowing that you are a king who is able to provide for me. And so we get into the prayer for today, which is, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. That's the first petition of this second half. I just want to backtrack slightly because I just realized I've just missed something in my notes. As we get to the second half, we see sort of three main petitions. The first one is our daily bread. It's for provision. The next one talks about our sins, about our trespasses, and about forgiveness. That's about our pardon. And the last petition is about, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. It's about our protection. And what's beautiful about this is we just talked about the nature and the character of God in the Lord's Prayer. Who he is, his rule, his reign, his will. And then in this, what we see is this sort of a Trinitarian feel to this. You know how much I love the Trinity? You know I love that. Provision speaks of God as our Father. Oh, he's already there. Oh, he's on it. Provision speaks about our Father. The God who provides for us. The God who is our creator, our sustainer. The God who in the Garden of Eden says, I give you a garden. I give you what you need. I am the God of provision. Pardon speaks about the Son, his role in redemption for our sins, about how it's through Jesus that we are saved, it's through Jesus that we find salvation and forgiveness. And the last bit about protection speaks about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our life to lead us and to protect us from the lies of the enemy and to fill us with the truth of God and to give us the power of God to do his kingdom, to do his will in the world around us. So as we're praying this, prayer, we're recognizing that everything's about God in this. And he's about saying, this is how big God is that here's what he is, and here's how he reveals his nature even more to me in the petitions that I bring before him. And so give us this day our daily bread speaks about God's provision for us, and it aligns us with the goodness of our Father, that we have a Father who is good. And he wants to bring goodness to us. I said in the Garden of Eden, the Father, the Creator, says, I'm going to provide you with a garden. He gives humanity a garden to live in, and it gives mankind provision within that garden. Every fruit of the trees is for you to eat. Everything here is for you, apart from that one tree. Don't touch that. But he provides the situation and he provides for their needs. God longs to provide. God longs to provide for us. And when we go through the Bible, we see story after story after story of God stepping in and bringing provision to people who are in need. Whether that be manna from heaven, whether that be Elijah being fed by ravens, whether that might be the book of Acts and the story of how God calls us into a community to share what we have with each other so that no one is in need. Because God's saying, in my family, there's provision for all. Well, we look right to the very end in Revelation, we see the garden again, and it talks about how the trees fruit monthly with all that is needed for the people. God is a God who longs to provide for us. It says in Psalm 104, 14, 15, he makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. See, God is a God who provides. And it says in Philippians 4:19, it says how, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. See, there's a promise being spoken throughout Scripture saying, God's a provider, God's a provider, God's a provider. But the problem with it is when we come to thinking about God as provider, the truth we need to get in our hearts is the fact that God provides for our need, not our wants. And that's the kicker. Because there's a lot of things that I want God to do. There's a lot of things that I want in my life. But God says, no, I will provide for your need, not your want. Or another catchy way of saying it is, I provide for your need, not your greed. Provide for your need, not your greed. It's so easy for us to decide what we think we need to have in our life. We live in a culture that tells us, just have some more, you need more in your life. But what does Jesus say? He says, Matthew 6, just after this Lord's Prayer, he says, so do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? Or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And he doesn't say, but seek first the kingdom of heaven, and everything else will be added to you. Or the Lord's Prayer, put God first, and everything comes after that. God's saying, Jesus is saying, you don't need to worry. And in this passage that he talks about not worrying about what's going to happen to you, he's saying, look at the birds. Do they worry about where they get their next meal from? No. You think about what you're going to wear? Well, look at the lilies of the valley. They are clothing, beautiful clothing. See, God longs to care for you. God longs to provide for you, but you need to understand he's going to provide for your need, not your want. So he might provide for you clothes, but they might not be designer. He provides for your need, not your want. But equally, what's he saying in the Sermon on the Mount? I can only provide for you when you let me be God in your life. Only when you let me be God, only when you let me be king, only when you proclaim me as Lord, can I break in and work. Because whilst you're trying on your own, you're saying that you're Lord of your life. And he's saying, until you start saying, God, you are Lord, that's when he says, I can then break in and provide for you. When you let me provide for you, when you let me be God in your life. Too many of us are struggling to try and do something, or trying to get something, and God's saying, and we're going, God, why is that happening? God's saying, well, until you surrender it to me, until you give it back to me, I can't work. Because you're choosing to make it your own responsibility. And he's saying, don't do that. Make me king of your life, and therefore I take responsibility. I take responsibility. He provides for our needs, not our wants. You see, we live in the Western world, and I know we're all in places this morning, but generally we are in a wealthier country. It doesn't mean to say we're all wealthy, but it means we're in a wealthier country. And the problem with physical luxury that we have, the ability to choose what we do, the ability to choose which brand we buy, the ability to look around and go, oh, I'll have that one, not that one. The danger of physical luxury, of having lots, is it may blind us, not always, but it may blind us to the fact that we are more than physical beings. I'll say that again. It may blind us to the fact that we are more than physical beings. We live in a world which has become so consumeristic, so materialistic, it's all about having something. About the latest gadget, the latest phone, the latest this, the latest that. It's all about having. And when that becomes your desire, when that becomes your focus, the problem with that is that it blinds you to the fact that you're also a spiritual being. Not only are you about physical things, but you are a spiritual being. There's a spiritual aspect to what you need in your life. You don't just need physical things, you need spiritual things. It's both and in your life. See, Jesus says in Matthew 4, man should not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He's saying, yes, there's things that you need physically, but there's things that you need spiritually. And they're both equally important to sustaining your life. If you think back to what we talked about in that series about fearless love, And we talked about being now in Christ. We are now physically alive and spiritually alive. It's saying God wants to sustain you both for your physical life and for that new spiritual life. And so the antidote to physical luxury is simplicity, living a more simple life. Not getting caught up with all the things that you think you have to have. It's challenging. I just seem to just acquire stuff. And if you've been to my house, you'll know. There's just piles of paper, there's just piles of stuff. I seem to just acquire it. I don't know what to do with it. But simplicity has a freeing nature to it. Generosity helps us focus back on what is important. And lastly, gratitude. Recognizing that what you have is from God. That you might have worked hard for it, but that comes from God's provision. God's provided you the work. God's provided you that gift. God's provided it for you. No matter how it's come about, it's from God. And so we live as people who are grateful people in gratitude. And nurturing gratitude in our lives is so important because we become so easily, we forget what God has done for us. That every blessing is from God. But it also says in Proverbs, we mustn't live in a life where we think about luxury being the main thing. But it also says, it's also not about abject poverty. It says it's not one or the other, it's somewhere in the middle. And Proverbs says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and still and so dishonor the name of God. He's saying, when you have loads of stuff, you don't need God. It's very easy to forget God when you have lots of stuff, when you have money paying the bills, when life's okay, when everything's fine. It's easy to forget God in that moment. But equally, when we don't have much, it's very easy then to get caught up in patterns of behavior that aren't right and aren't healthy. It says in Thessalonians, it says, if someone doesn't want to work for their money, they don't eat. It's as simple as that. He's saying there's a principle of needing to actually wanting to work as well, of needing to actually provide. But you see, God says, I'll provide for your every need. I will provide for you. See, God wants to bring the physical and spiritual provision into our life. As you think about this phrase, our daily bread, God is saying something profound to us this morning. And we look at the manna from heaven, the story in Exodus about manna from heaven where God says, okay, you haven't got anything in the desert at all. You have got nothing. You've got no way of getting food. I will provide for you. But here are the rules. I'll provide what you need daily just for that day. Just for that day. And when it gets to the Sabbath, day before that, you can collect two lots. But if you collect any more than that, it will go moldy. It will decay, it will rot, it will become something which is not good. So we need to hear this and recognize that God is saying, this is about an ongoing daily provision of God in our life. Now I'm not saying you just go, well, I'm not going to bother working then, I'll just sit back and wait for God to provide for me. I'm not saying that. God provides us work in order to provide. But the fact we have a job daily is a gift from God, so thank him in gratitude that you have a job. But manna from heaven speaks not about God providing food for us. The depth we want to go into this morning is this. It was about being daily provision. Daily provision. See, he provides for their need just what they needed. But the constant need of the people was met by the constant provision of God. Here again, the constant need of the people was met by the constant provision of God. God was going, I love this because you're in need and I can provide. I can provide for you. I love to provide for you. And what he provided was good. See, when you start living in times of faith, and I've told you before how when we grew up as a family, we planted a church and we lived by faith for a number of years. You know, never did a meal on the table taste so good as when you know that actually, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have it today. God's provision tastes so good. It is so good. And you know what? I miss those times. I'm not saying I want to go back to them. But I miss living by faith, because when you live by faith, man, it's hard. But you know what? It's exciting. And what God provides is so good. Daily provision speaks not about what we actually need and what we want and what have you. The main crux of this is about relationship with God. My brother had a little baby a year ago, and his partner Steph has been looking quite tired in the last year. But it's because during the middle of the night, the baby cries, and she has to get up, and then she has to feed the baby. And then she puts it down again, and then a few hours later, she has to get up again and feed the baby. That crying for food, that crying out in hunger of the baby, leads to provision from her mum. And that provision is an action of bonding and a moment of intimacy. See, God's not sort of saying, I just want to provide for your needs. He's saying, I want more than that. I want to provide for you. I want to show you how much I love you. I want to be the God who you come to when you're crying and you're starving for hunger, when you have a need, so I can show you how much I love you. Because you're going to come, we're going to come in intimacy. There's a bonding that takes place when we rely on God and we trust in God. There's a bonding that takes place. The times I feel closest to God is when God's done something. When I've been in need and God's providing, you're like, wow, God does care for me. God does love me. God is doing this for me. It's like, wow. It provides a bond. It creates a relationship. And so what God was doing when he said to the Israelites, I'll provide what you need daily, he could have said, right, I'll dump you some big food parcels. That'll deal with you for a month. I'll see you in a month's time. He doesn't do that. He says, I want to provide for you daily so that you remember who it is your provider, where it comes from. I want you to be able to come back to me time and time again and know that every time you come to me, I'm always going to provide. I'm always going to provide. Day speaks about that bond. But it's not just for our physical needs, it's for our spiritual needs. And Jesus says, oh, you're ahead of me. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not go hungry. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst. He's saying, I am your provider, both physically and spiritually. And you need to come back to me daily, again and again, for what you need. You need to come back to me daily for what you need, provision, whether that be physical or whether that be spiritual. And here's really my message for this morning. That was just the introduction. So what we're doing now is this. I think I'm joking. I have a question for us this morning. God says, give us this day our daily bread. That daily provision to come to him, to seek him, to be in relationship with him, to be in that bond with him. My question for us this morning is this. How hungry are you? How hungry are you? There might be things in your life this morning where you need physical provision. You have a hunger, you have a need that God needs to step in and provide in the physical. But there might be in the spiritual. Actually, the question I'm asking you this morning is, how hungry are you for God this morning? How much do you actually need him? Has your relationship settled for something less? How is your need? Well, I'll go to church once a week and that will do me. That's enough, once a week. I'll come to church and sit through Pete preaching too long again. Is that enough for you? Or maybe it's when you come to church maybe once a month because that's all you can really bother to come to. Or is that enough? Or house group, when I can be bothered to turn up or I remember to turn up. Is that enough for you? How much is enough for you? Are you actually hungry for God? Because if you're not hungry for God, he won't provide. Because he provides for your need. If you don't need him, he's like, okay, you don't need me. Go on your own. God says, I can only act in your life when you let me be God, when you let me be your provider. So how hungry are you? Because our first point I want to make of this situation is this. We need to be people who stay hungry, who stay in constant need of God, who say, you know what? I haven't prayed for a couple of days. That's not good enough because I need to connect with my Father. I need to connect with my God. I don't know about you, but I find that if I haven't prayed for a few days, things just start going off piste. They don't start going the right direction. Things just sort of, I become more grumpy. I become more short with people. I become less compassionate. You're going, oh, that's what's been going on. But you know, it changes me. When I don't spend time with God, it affects my life and how I live it. This goes right back to what we talked about at the beginning of the year, about intimacy and obedience. If you want to have more impact in your life, you've got to get close to Jesus. You've got to get close to Jesus. And Jesus is saying, this isn't just something you come to occasionally. This has got to be a constant daily crying out, going, God, you know what? I want more of this faith. I want more of you. I want to have a hunger in me. God, put a hunger in me for the things of your kingdom. Put a hunger in me to see the world saved. Put a hunger in me. Because too many of us have become satisfied with where we are. What have you settled for? Have you settled for just a Sunday morning? Or when you can probably bother to turn up? What have you settled for? Because God's saying, settle for daily. Come daily to me. And so this morning, if you're not very hungry, I'm going to ask you, ask God to put a hunger back into your heart. Because we need to be a people who are hungry for the things of God, saying, God, I need your provision. I need you in my life. And sometimes we're not hungry for God because we found a substitute for that hunger. Sometimes we fill that hunger, that need, not with Jesus, but we fill it maybe addiction, with physical food, with something else. It could be, rather than going to God, we go to other people. So other people become our source of life. We go to them and go, ah! That's quite loud. And we go to them, and what happens is, we drain them. We drain them. Because rather than going to God, who is a giver of life, we go often to other people because we don't want to go to God, and we drain those people. Have you put relationships in your life that are actually unhealthy because you're just using them for yourself? Because everything we see in the scriptures about how relationships are about giving, not about receiving. Think about, where you being sustained? What's sustaining you? Is it God? We need to be a people who stay hungry and not settle for less. This cannot be it. Turning up on a Sunday morning cannot be it. There's a world out there that needs saving. This cannot be it. And if we settle for just this, ultimately we'll just die. So we say to God, put a hunger in me, a hunger for the heart of the gospel to change this world, make me hungry again. The next thing we need to do is this. If you want to be someone who starts moving into living a life where we talk about daily bread, step out so that God can step in. Have situations in your life where you go, God, I'm going to step out in faith now so that actually I haven't got a clue what's going to work here, but you've got to step in because I can't do it. Too many of us live on a safe life. We live in what we can provide for ourselves. We never step out in faith. We never step out in that place of saying, God, you've got to work now. You've got to move now. It isn't about testing God. It's not about saying, okay, God, I'm going to put you to the test now. So I am going to give my money away to the poor, and now I'm going to wait for you to provide for me as a test to your faithfulness. It's not that. It's not testing God. It's about growing our faith. It's not testing God. It's not putting God to the test and saying, okay, God, you say this, do it for me. It's saying, God, I believe this about you, and so I trust you for it. Subtle difference. We don't test God, we grow faith. Very different. Very different. I've told you the story before about when I applied for Bible college in Birmingham. God said to me, apply. And I was like, okay, God. So I broke my application form. And they said, you need to put a £400 deposit in with it. And I told you at the time, I had no money. Absolutely not a penny to my name. And so I said, okay, God, I'm going to post this tomorrow, but I have no money to put in with it. And that night, I went to a friend's house and we were just chatting. And afterwards, I went, Pete, we just felt God tell us to give you this £400. And I was like, okay, God. Now, I could have said to God, I won't bother applying until I got the money. But God said, write the application form and post it tomorrow. You see, I've had so many situations in my life where when you step out in faith, God's like, oh, I can provide for you now. I can do it for you now. But too many of us live happy in the provision that we have of ourselves. And we never get to see those exciting moments of faith where God says, ah, I want to break in. Sometimes when we step out in faith, God's like, I can step in now. I can step into that situation. And lastly, there's this. Enjoy God's provision. When God provides, it is so sweet. And enjoy it. Now, I don't want to say this, I need to be careful how I say this. We don't preach a prosperity gospel. I don't believe you come to Jesus and everything's going to be wonderful, you're going to be rich and famous, and everything's great. The Bible does not teach that, I believe. But there are moments when God shows us glimpses of his favor. When his hand's on us for a time, he says, I just want to show you that I'm good. And outrageous things happen. I've told you before as a church that twice now in my life, in Christian ministry, God's just given me a free holiday. And I'm like, what? I was at Pershaw, I was going through the mill, and some friends of mine said, Pete, we're going on holiday, we've got a spare space, do you want to come for free? And I said to them before, I can't afford to go, I've got stuff, I can't do stuff, because you know I was earning very little money at that time. God provided. When I was in Cardiff again, I was just in a situation where I just needed a holiday, and I was just getting to a really, you know, I was burnt out, I was not good. And a friend of mine said, Pete, we're going skiing on a skiing holiday, do you want to come? I'll pay for you. Now, that doesn't happen every day. I wish it did. But there's just these times when God says, just so you know that I know what's going on in your life, I just want to show you some favor right now. I just want to show you some favor. And so you take these opportunities and you just savor them. And you say, God, this is from you. I'm just going to savor this moment where you've provided for me. I know it's not the norm. It's not the norm. It's really not. But it's just like saying, I'm going to savor this. You see, the problem with it often is that we either live in the past or the future, and very rarely in the present. God says, give us this day our daily bread. And it's too easy to live in the past, living in regret, in hindsight of going, oh, if only this had been different. If only my past had changed things. If only things had been different in the past, then it would have been fine now. And we live constantly in regret of the past. Not always, I'm saying, but sometimes we can live in the past in places of regret, or even in, oh, the good old days were so good, weren't they? Wasn't it amazing when that happened? Wasn't that fantastic? I used to work in Wales, as you know, and there I used to go to churches, and it was always the revival was amazing. The Welsh revival was so great. So, yeah, it's great. It happened. Get over it. Let's do things now. Because they're living in the past. But equally, the danger is we start living in the future constantly, where we end up living in worry and anxiety. Where we're saying, well, how am I going to provide for tomorrow? What's going to happen in 2 weeks' time? What's going to happen in that? And Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. It has enough worries of its own. Live in this moment. Live in this day. He's saying, I'm going to provide for you for this day. He says, my mercy's in you every morning. He says, it's a constant thing I'm doing for you, constantly, day by day. So we don't live in the past, and we don't live in the anxiety of the past or the anxiety of the future. We live and savor the present. We savor the manna from heaven, the daily bread, what's God given me today. And we come to him with gratitude, and we say, thank you, God, that I have a job. Thank you, God, that I've got a pension. Thank you, God, that you provided for me. Thank you, God, for my children. Thank you, God, for the things that I have. And gratitude births in us. That relationship, that deeper relationship with God. So how hungry are you today? What have you settled for your Christian life? Where do you need to maybe take a step of faith and say, God, I want to get back to being a person who lives by faith? And actually, what is it that God's given you that you need to savor? this day. You actually, I just need to recognize that this is good. And rather than worrying about what tomorrow is or what the past was, I just want to savor today. We're going to respond in worship now. I'm just going to have some time just to be and just to reflect and think. Is to come to him and say, God, give us this day our daily bread.